Well, good morning. Glad to see everybody out this morning. Glad to be up here before y'all again this morning and take this time to thank the elders and Mike for the opportunity. As most of y'all know, I work at Tyson. My specific job is to go out to farm that I am overseer of and try to help my growers get the biggest and the heaviest and the best chicken to the plant to be processed. And there are seven of us, field men, as we're called. And, of course, we all do the same thing. And we're a bunch of big buddies there. It's a great atmosphere to work at. Some may call us big kids because we joke around a lot. We really stir the pot with each other. The biggest way we stir the pot with each other is that when our farms sell, we'll kid each other and say, well, hey, your farm weighed heavier than my farm. So that means, you know, he did a better job on his farms than I did, so to speak. So we just kid and joke all the time about that. And I don't know if any of you have any people in your lives that stir the pot with you, but that's what I would like to talk about this morning, stirring the pot. Now, the word stir has some interesting definitions. Webster says it's to cause to move, to disturb, to move quickly, to rouse as one who sleeps or is indifferent, to be active or in motion. Now, the Greek definition is to trouble, to kindle afresh, to urge on, rouse, to excite, and unsettle. Now, Jesus stirred the pot. Now, this was one of the accusations against Jesus as he stood before Pilate in Luke chapter 23, verse 1 through 5. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Sorry about that. I don't know what in the world. There we go. Okay. Sorry about that. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the King? Doesn't like me this morning, evidently. Okay. We'll try it again. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the King of the Jews? He answered him and said, it is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now I want to ask, though, how did Jesus stir the pot? Well, by his teaching. But they were the more fierce, in verse 5, saying, he stirs up people, teaching throughout of all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Now, when Jesus walked earth as a man, people were astonished at his teaching. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now in John chapter 7, verse 46, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Well, why were they astonished at his teaching? Well, because Jesus said his doctrine came from his Father. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but is who sent me. Jesus had to remind the apostles of this too. In John chapter 14, verse 9 through 10. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am that I am in the Father and that the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Now Jesus kept his Father's commandments. In John chapter 15, verse 10, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, in order to keep his Father's commandments, he had to stir up people. Sometimes this caused people to hate him or despise him. Sometimes they loved him for it. Other times they just simply went away sorrowful. But Jesus knew in order to obey God, he couldn't preach just peace. Matthew 10, verse 34 to 35. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now he warned the apostles that he meant for them to do the same thing. Matthew 10, verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, who were some people that Jesus stirred up? Well, he stirred up Nicodemus about the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus stirred up the Samaritan woman about a personal life. John chapter 4, verse 13 through 20. Well, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. But Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. He stirred up the rich young ruler about the commandments in Mark 10. Verse 17 to 22. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looking at him said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. Excuse me a minute. Well, I guess we won't do it without PowerPoint. Apologize about that. Well, next, he stirred up Pilate by saying nothing. If you'd like to follow along, we'll read from Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Well, now, early Christians stirred the pot in their time. Now, we shouldn't be surprised, because that is exactly what Jesus instructed the apostles to do, and exactly what the apostles instructed the early Christians to do, is to stir the pot in their time. Now, Peter stirred the pot on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 38. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, Peter and John stirred up the Sadducees about the resurrection in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Well, they also stirred up the high priest and his kindred in Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that if it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Stephen stirred up the people in the synagogue back in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Now, Aquila and Priscilla stirred up Apollos about baptism in Acts chapter 8, verses 24 through 26. "Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." So there's many more examples that we could point out, but these have shown us that stirring people up is done through teaching the gospel. Now, Jesus, by teaching truth, stirred people up. The apostles, through preaching the gospel, stirred people up. The early Christians stirred up people with the gospel. But with stirring up people comes persecution. Because persecution will come when people are stirred. So let us not forget what they did to Jesus. They crucified him. The apostles were beaten, put in prison, and eventually put to death. And early Christians were persecuted and put to death for stirring the pot, for stirring up the people. But why were they, though? Well, because they stirred the people up. Well, now how? Well, they stirred the people up by teaching the truth. Because it is certain that anyone who promotes and teaches the gospel will eventually be met with hostility. And our Lord tells us about this in Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, I want to ask a question. How do we avoid persecution? Well, Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So we have to understand that Jesus never made disciples under false pretenses, but always made them understand the cost of following him. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, if it is different today for you and me, then we must ask ourselves, why is it different? Even if it challenges us to examine the depth and the genuineness of our own discipleship. So the only way to avoid persecution would have to, if we chose not to live godly. The only way. Now some people may say, well, I do my part. Or I come to church on Sundays, both times. I come Wednesdays. But we have to remember that it's just not about attending worship on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's about service. Christianity is not just huddling in the building on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's about stirring people up for the cause of Christ Monday through Saturday. So living godly in Christ Jesus includes stirring people up. And you can't help but stir people up if you are living godly. Well, how can we do this? Well, when you see error, you will confront it. When you come in contact with wickedness, you will rebuke it. When you see someone who has missed the mark or missed the way, you will stir them up by teaching them the right way. And by doing so, you will be living godly and persecution will come. Now, some of the persecutions that we may face today. Well, you may lose family and friends because you stand for the truth. Because in Matthew 10, verse 37 through 38, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Well, you could lose your job because they may want you to lie or cheat. But we must remember that we work for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But now, to stir others up, one must be stirred up themselves. Now, Paul was stirred up. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Well, how do you stir up yourself, you may ask? Well, the same way you stir up others with teaching. You let the Holy Spirit teach you through the Word. So you have to turn the spotlight of truth upon yourself. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's our duty, and God expects us to be like Christ. Now, when we finally realize that Christianity is much more than just coming to church, then we are moved to action, and we go from sitting in the light to walking in it. Then we go from knowing the great story to telling the great story. We begin to shine instead of just flickering, and we stir people up with our teaching. Now, that's what the Word of God does. It pricks the honest hearts of those who hear it. Some will respond, some will not. Some will laugh, some will persecute you. But once we've stirred ourselves, we will stir others. And in doing so, we will be like our Savior. In Luke chapter 23, verse 5, He stirreth up the people by teaching. So how can you start today by stirring people up? Well, first, you have to obey the gospel. We have to hear the word. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have to believe. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. We have to repent. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must confess. Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. Finally, be baptized for remission of our sins. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent, all of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, once we're baptized, then that means we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then that means that we're saved. So if there's anyone here who has been stirred this morning and would like to stir others and would like to be baptized for the remission of their sins, I would ask that you would come forward. Or if you have already been baptized and already a Christian and you've gone back into the world, I'd ask that you would come forward as well as we stand and sing.